Father of the house, Uncle Bijou, even as he gives us an exhortation. We did better for him. Did better for him.
Good morning. Today we have some two new preachers. So I want you to welcome them. Can we give them a mic, please? So, can you introduce yourselves, please?
My name is Daniel Roxen.
Daniel what?
No, Daniel Roxen.
Daniel Roxen, okay. And you are?
My name is William Nikwe Okine.
William Nikwe Okine. All right. You know who have made you preachers today, don't you?
Yes.
So tell us who have made you preachers today.
We were talking while praise and worship was going on.
All right, go and take your seats. They were sitting right in front of me, and they've been talking, sir. I wish I could ask them what they were talking about, but I'll spare them for today. All right, let's break up into our classes very quickly. Uncle David, it looks like we are struggling for our sound a little. It's too high and there's some feedback. Uncle Ivan. I think there are some more preachers in this class. Should I bring them up? Okay, let's quickly settle down. There's a lot that we'll be doing today, and I'm not even too sure what we shall be doing today, but there's a lot that we'll be doing today. By the way, why were you so late to class to church today? Is that how you are late when you are going to school? So what happened? Did you oversleep? Or we just didn't care? This my friend is looking into the air. When I'm asking questions, he's just looking into the air. I don't know whether he's with us. Yeah, you know, I'm coming to you. Today I'll be doing a lot of these funny things. I feel like playing God today. But I can't be God. I am not God and I can't be God. But I feel like playing a little bit of God today to teach us some things. Okay, so I want us to be very, very attentive. The video, sorry, but I don't know why I'm moving around a lot. I didn't plan to move around, but you just have to manage. Okay. All right. I hope you all brought our Bibles to church today. Let me see your Bibles. Raise it up. Everybody, raise your Bible up. I don't want any phone. I said Bible. If you don't have a Bible, just stand up briefly. If you are not holding a Bible, just stand up briefly. Where's your Bible? And why are you sitting? I said, raise your Bible. facilitators, make sure everybody has raised their Bible. If they don't have their Bible, hey, Salom. I said, Salom. Salom. Say, Yiram. Why? You are looking away. Shame on you. A very big shame. What's your Bible? You have it in your bag and you didn't bring your bag. What are you saying? Look at her. Tell everyone what you just told me. You know, I said to them, I feel like playing God. Will you be able to? He said, "Ow." Will you be able to tell God what you just told me? All right. If you're not raising a Bible, please stand up. If you're not raising a Bible, please stand up, including all the late comers. Ashes, can you please count them for me? Those standing. Facilitators, make sure anybody not raising his Bible is standing up. Wait, what did you bring your Bible? Listen to me. From today onwards, even if you use the Bible on your phone, when you come to church, bring your hard copy Bible as well as your phone. Did you hear me? So next week, I don't expect anybody to be standing up. The next week, we are done. Ishra, come here. Ashes, have you counted them? Ishra, I'm waiting for you. Today, I'm playing God, so God is calling you. Hey, you have two facilitators escorting you. Okay, please take your seats. Yeah, here comes our model. Yeah. Hey, you have lost your steps. One of the things about God is that you cannot expect God. You cannot predict him. And that's what's going to be happening a lot today. You don't know what God will do next in your life, even for us as facilitators. And I was telling the facilitators yesterday when we had our meeting that I don't know how the service will be like today. Did I say so? So this is the beginning of what I don't know to be like. A little over God wants our attention. So I like the way you are quiet and listening to me. That's how God wants us to listen to him. So when we wake up, when we sleep, when we are fully around, when we are having fun, we must always be listening to God. God is very interested in the little things in our lives. It's not just the big things. I wish Joyce could have shared what she shared with me, but she doesn't want to share, so I'll not force her. Oh, look at her face. But the interesting thing is that when I asked her, can she tell God what she just told me? She said no. If you know you cannot confidently tell God things on your mind, when I say things on your mind, things that you think about, the negative things that you think about, the negative things that you do, then don't do them. Don't think them. The devil sometimes may allow certain negative thoughts to flash through your mind. You can't stop that one. But don't stop and meditate on it and think about them. Are you listening? I'm God this morning. A little over 2 years ago, for the first time in my life, for some of you, this may not be any testimony, Bia, because your parents are very rich. But for me, it was a very, very big testimony. A little over 2 years ago, I bought a brand new car with my own money for the first time in my life. And it was supposed to be my retirement car, and I was very happy and proud about it. And I was looking forward to the day the car will land and I will sit in the car. I took some pictures I wanted to share with Uncle Moses to project, but I decided against it at the last minute. We had waited and waited because we were trying to get the cheapest price, the best model. I mean, we did a whole lot of waiting. Finally, the car was purchased. And then it was shipped. And then finally, it arrived in Tema. And then the shipping agent informed me that the car was ready to be delivered. So we went to the port full of excitement, waiting for the car to come out so that I'll see the sweat of my toes over the years. And then, to my shock, some of the facilitators know the story. I was informed that my brand new car, my retirement car, the windshield had been smashed. I mean, smashed as it smashed, not cracked. The whole thing was smashed. Look, I was so depressed. Even when they were driving the car to the port, I was just sitting on a concrete slab there, and I didn't even turn to look at the car. And the angel said, "Oh, you don't even look and admire the car." I mean, I didn't mind him. I had been discussing with the shipping agent, and I told him, "This is a new car, so I want it to be safe when you are packing it." And we agreed on all those terms. And I even told him that when they put it in the container, you should take a photograph and a video of the car in the container so I'll see how well it is safe in the car. He showed me other cars that he had parked, but he didn't show me my own. And the thing was shipped. Apparently, as a businessman, he was trying to make money. So he packed a lot of other things in that container. And then in transit, a very huge box, heavily loaded, fell on the windscreen, fell on the bonnet. So the roof of the car was damaged. The windscreen, the entire windscreen was smashed. The bonnet, part of the bonnet also was smashed. I was so devastated. It took me a very long time to get over it. But as is life, one day I got over it. Finally got it registered. And then one day, my wife's niece, the daughter, decided to visit us. And she too, she liked the car very much. One morning, I woke up, she was playing outside. I went to see her. And to my shock, this girl had taken a stone from the ground and scribbled on the brand new car whose windshield had been smashed and reminded to change it already. They changing on the windscreen, a brand new car. Now you are changing windscreen already. I mean, it was very devastating. And I saw this writing on the car. I look at him. So I asked her, "What you have done? Do you think it's good?" She said, "No." "Will you do it again?" "No." "Why did you do it?" "I don't know." So I said, "Don't do it again, okay?" She felt bad. She went to tell her mom, "Hey, grandpa didn't beat me." Because she was expecting to be beaten after writing on the car with a stone. When I was sharing these two stories with you, did you feel for me? If you were hearing the story for the first time, it's like, "Oh, why did this Shepherd do this? This small girl too. Can't she think?" But she's a small girl. It's about, I think at that time she was about 4 years old or so. This is exactly what we do to God. This is exactly how we relate to God. God gives us a beautiful life. He has given us His word, His written word, a revelation of who He is and how He wants us to live. Read it and get to know who you are and get to understand the God who loves you so much and sent Jesus Christ to die for you. You won't read. We come to church, the choir is singing. I don't know whether you listen. I forgot the names of my friends. Is it Daniel? Roxanne, and the other friend. You be chit-chatting. God is talking to you. You couldn't be bothered. You are doing your own thing. Even to carry your Bible, you are shy of your Bible. It's too big. It's not nice. It's worn out. So I don't want my friends to see that my Bible is worn out. I remember when we got born again, you also used to behave the same way. Those days, you had these small and New Testament Bibles. And then when you go to church, you take those New Testament, put it in our back pockets, as if nothing's happened. Then we go to church. And then when we started getting more confident, we took a big Bible. Then we take a graphic or brown paper. We'll wrap the Bible so that nobody sees that we are holding a Bible. Then we go to church. And then as we began to know who we are, who God is, now we started buying big Bibles. And we carry the Bibles confidently. We couldn't be ashamed of the Bible. We couldn't be ashamed of our God. Pastor now told us to live unashamed for God. For the gospel is the power of God. So we were bold to carry our Bibles. And now today, we are blessed even to have our Bibles on our computers, on our phones. And even that cry, sometimes our phones cry, we don't bring to church. If you don't bring it to church, do you read it at home at all? For the past 3 years, ICGC has been doing what you call a Bible challenge. And some of you say that you are not aware that we are doing anything called Bible challenge. Who is not aware that we are doing Bible challenge? Raise your hand. I won't ask you any questions. You are not aware. Just raise your hand. Raise this high up. I want to see you. Ashes, please count them for me. Or stand up so they can see you quickly. So when they come to them, you can sit down. Oh, don't be shy. I'm not coming to ask you any questions. I just want to know the numbers. Facilitators, I want you to notice something. Do you notice that the numbers are all from this side? Please count the numbers for me very quickly. Hey, my friend, the late comer. Please come up. Today is full of surprises. Please come up. Join me up here. I'd like
the way you're holding your Bible, but where's your notebook? I like the way you're holding your Bible, but where's your notebook? You didn't bring your notebook. You didn't bring pen too. Finish counting. Please take your seat. You see, I didn't come to ask you any question. Once in a while, these are some of the things that God does. He just says to some angels, go and count in Teen Chapel. Go and count those who are reading the Bible. Go and count those who are doing their quiet times. Go and count those who belong to departments. Go and count those who love me, those who think about me, those who work for me. And after he counts, he prepares some parcels. I said to them, I'm playing God out. So I'm telling you how God thinks sometimes. He prepares some special parcels. I say, hey, angels, take these parcels to these people. And the rest of them, forget about them. But we are still his children. He still loves us. Rabbi, last week you didn't come to church. God laid on my heart to minister to your Yumi's church. And that's how God does sometimes. Yesterday I was watching the last day of the 40 days of fasting and prayer by Fountain Gate Chapel. And then the service dragged. It was a prophetic service. The service dragged. And around, I didn't watch it live, but I think around 10:30 or so, one lady took her bag and was walking out to go home because it was late and possibly she was tired. And then as she was walking out, the prophet picked on her and said he had a word for it. I mean, he saw so many things. He said, ah, but why are you going with your bag? You are going home. When God wants to minister to you, you are going home. Anyway, the prophet ministered to her, said a whole lot of things, prayed for her. She went back and sat down. That is how we behave with God sometimes. At the moment that God wants to minister to you, you tell yourself, I'm tired of Teen Chapel. I'm tired of church. I'm tired of my parents waking me up every morning to go to church. Why can't I be free? Why can't I have my own life? Just when God is about to bring a breakthrough in your life, a breakthrough that you have been waiting for all this while, you just give up on God. Rabbi, I pray for you, but I don't know what you missed by not being in church last week. I don't know why you were not in church, and I don't know what you missed. But that's how God works sometimes. I don't intend to preach today. I'll share a very short verse with us, and then we'll have discussions in our Bible study groups. But there are two things I want to do before then. And I want you to listen very carefully. Because I'm not too sure what I'm doing. I don't know whether it's God leading me to do this, but I would rather obey and it not to be God and for somebody to be blessed than to disobey because I'm not sure it is God and then I end up disobeying God. Okay? So listen very carefully before you respond. If there's, by the way, let me do this first. How many of us have finished reading through the Bible since we started the Bible challenge? How many of us have finished reading the Bible? Please stand up, let's see. Including facilitators. You finished reading the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelations. Stand up. Let me see. I'm also standing up. All right. Thank you. Please take your seats. How many of us have finished reading the New Testament? Those who have finished the entire Bible, you don't need to stand up. Those who have finished reading the New Testament, please stand up. Please, can you get a mic? I want to find out a few things. Very quickly, please. Oh, don't worry. Abba. Why don't you like mic? I want to ask every single one of them. Why are you in the Old Testament now? Pardon? Okay, take a seat. Psalms. Oh, the mic. There's something wrong with the mic. Where are you? Pardon? Deuteronomy. Okay, take a seat. Joyce, where are you? Pardon?
Joel.
Okay.
Isaiah.
Pardon?
Isaiah.
Oh, come on. You're using my tune shout.
Isaiah.
Okay, this one. Yeah.
I've finished.
Pardon?
I finished it, but I'm starting again.
You finished the entire Bible, you're starting again. Oh, then you are part of the first group. Okay.
The New Testament.
Use the mic.
I finished the New Testament. When I was in the Old Testament, I skipped a few. Now I'm starting.
You started the Old Testament or started the New Testament?
The Old Testament, and I skipped a few.
You skipped a few?
Yes, after.
Okay, so you are not consistent in the reading of the Old Testament. Okay. This way. I'm doing this for the sake of those of you who say we don't know that there's anything called Bible Challenge. So next week when we ask you, don't tell me that you don't know that we are reading the Bible. Okay?
Genesis.
Okay.
Exodus.
Psalms.
Exodus. I finished reading.
You finish?
Yes. Abba.
Take your seat. Thank you. Congratulations. Clap for her.
Leviticus.
Anne, why?
I started again this year. So I started from Genesis this year.
You finished and you started? Sit down. Are you new students?
Psalms.
Pardon?
Psalms. Proverbs.
Okay. Thank you very much. So, for those who don't know that we are doing something called Bible Challenge, we are doing Bible Challenge. This is a national program, and every teenager is supposed, every member of the youth church is supposed to be part of this program. So for those of you who have not started or do not know that we are doing Bible Challenge, we are relaunching the Bible Challenge. And for those of you who, we are reading at least 3 chapters every day. In fact, now I've decided to leave you. I was reading with you and I realized that many of you are not reading with us. So me, I've left you. I'm reading my own. Okay? And I'm not reading 3 chapters a day. I have my own different system of reading. But every one of us is expected to read a minimum of 3 chapters a day. That is a challenge. If you are lazy and you can't read the 3 chapters, at least read 2. But be consistent. It must be a daily thing. We all eat every day. We sleep every day. And some of us overslept today. I mean yesterday into today. So read your Bible every day and overread your Bible every day. Will you do that? That is what we call the Bible Challenge. So for those of you who are not aware or are not doing it, we are starting from the book of John. John chapter 1. So next week Sunday when we meet, you should have finished reading John. John is 21 chapters. If you read 3 chapters today and you continue until Saturday, by next week Sunday you would have read through the book of John. Will you do it? So the Bible Challenge is relaunched. Second thing concerning the Bible reading. Auntie Esther has been posting every day, reminding us where we are. How many of us follow her reminders. Please stand up. I want to see something. I won't ask you any question. Just stand up. Today I'm doing a lot of statistics. I told you that today I'm playing God. Sometimes God does these things. How many of us follow? Okay. Auntie Esther, I think let's stop because it's not achieving the benefits. All right, take your seat. So your facilitators now will be sending you reminders in your class groups and will be monitoring your reading and helping you to read so that it becomes a lifestyle, it becomes a habit. Will you obey them? So we have relaunched the Bible Challenge. For those of us who are already reading, just continue from where you are and make sure that you are consistent and you are reading every day. All right? When you get into your groups, your facilitators will ask you to summarize all the things that are said and make sure that you remember everything. Roxen, you there? Give me a high five. All right. The last thing I want to do before I give us a short exhortation, then we'll break into our groups. You are in this church and you know that we are reading the Bible and you want to read, but you sense something pushing you not to read. It's not that you don't want to read. You want to read. But you sense something pushing you not to read. I want you to stand up. And don't be shy about it. There's something pushing you not to read. You wish you would read. Don't look at anybody. I mean, when God is ministering to us, he doesn't look at people. He looks at us one by one. Why are you waiting for somebody before you stand? I don't get it. Listen to me very carefully. I said that you feel like there's something pushing you not to read. I'm not saying that you are lazy or you just don't feel like reading. It's as if a certain force is pushing you not to read. It's a spiritual wind, and we are going to deal with that spiritual wind this morning. I say nobody should stand up again, but it's okay. It's better to be late than to disobey. You feel there's a wind pushing you not to read. It's a wind. It's a spirit. It's a force. And it's not just against you. It's against Teen Chapel. You have heard so many things about Teen Chapel. And sometimes some of us even wonder, why is it that we don't experience the things that they said that used to happen in Teen Chapel? Why is it not happening anymore? Why is it that you don't care about the Bible? They don't care about God. They are not interested in preaching. They are not interested in anything God. They want to have fun. They want to have their own way. There's a force behind it. Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you will have life and have it abundantly. The devil doesn't want you to experience what God wants you to experience. And you must understand that. When Jesus was 12 years old, that's the first written account of the daily activities of Jesus Christ in the Bible. When he was 12 years old, the Bible says that he was in the church. And he was conferring with the pastors and the prophets and the apostles, the teachers of the word. He was asking questions, inquisitive. He was interested in the word. He was studying the word. All of us here are more than 12 years old. We should be hungry for the word of God. We must desire the word of God. If you want to be like Jesus, we must desire the word. Peter said, desire the sincere milk.
If you don't drink the milk of the word, if you don't yearn for the milk of the word, if you don't hunger for the milk of the word, you will never be established as a Christian. You give all kinds of excuses why the Bible is boring, why church is boring, why it's like, what is all this church thing? And by the time you get to the university, you just forget about God, you forget about church, and the next thing we hear about you, you have joined the LGBT, etc., etc. You started doing all kinds of crazy things because you think that this God thing now, there's nothing in it. Pastor Nash shared with us and told us that the little things in our lives, that is how God trains us for the future. I want all of us to begin to pray in tongues right now. We are dealing with this wind that is fighting against the move of God in Teen Chapel. Everybody pray in tongues. Lift up your voice and pray in tongues. We are dealing with a spiritual force. And we have to stop this wind and allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to have his own way in our midst any time that we meet in his name. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus must be exalted. And it says when we exalt the name of Jesus, he will draw all men unto him. Everybody pray in tongues. Be serious. Be serious. We are stopping this force. Wherever it's coming from, whichever agent sent it, we are holding it back. In the name of Jesus. 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 Use the gift that God has given you. Speak in tongues. Fight against this wind. Stop the wind. Stop the wind. Stop the wind. Stop the wind. In the name of Jesus. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything. God wants to do something in our midst. He wants to stir up a certain wind of revival in our midst. And it needs to begin with the word. And something is holding us back. And we are standing against whatever wind is holding us back this morning. In the name of Jesus. This wind will not prevail against Calvary Temple. This is our 40th year as ICGC. May no wind from any source prevail against Calvary Temple. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let us demand that the word of God be established. Speak the word of God against every wind that fights against Calvary Temple, every wind that holds the move of God, every wind that is fighting Teen Chapel, every wind that is stopping us from getting into the word. Hold it back in the name of Jesus. Must be exalted whenever we meet. Jesus must be exalted whenever we meet. The name of Jesus must be lifted up whenever we meet. Those of you standing, I want you to come and line up in the front. Ashes, can you please give me some anointing oil? You must receive power to hold back any wind that fights against the Spirit of God in your life. Because Jesus must prevail.
Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me, He's my Master, Savior, Prince of Peace. The rest of us, let's pray in tongues. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me, You are my Master and my Savior, Prince of Nicholas, please come. Lord, to me, Master, Lord, we set this apart for You. We set this all apart for You, and as we anoint this, your children, may the Spirit of God stir up a yearning for Your word in their lives, and may nothing block them from getting into the word. May they have a hunger for Your word, a hunger for Your word, a hunger for Your word, in the name of Jesus. Where's Uncle Nicholas? A revival of your word. Hunger for Your word, O God. Hunger for Your word. A fresh yearning for Your word. A fresh desire for Your word. A fresh desire for Your word.
Today.
Stand up, please. And we are declaring that Jesus is our Lord. He is our Master. He saved us. We choose to set Him as our Master, as our Lord. He must rule our lives. He must lead the way. And we'll follow in the little things and in the big things. He must lead the way. And we'll hear His voice. And we'll follow Him. Wherever He leads us, we will go. Whatever He asks us to do, we will do. He is our Lord. He is the one who went to Calvary and shed His blood. He shed His blood for us. He shed His blood for us. And He wants us to love Him with all our lives, with all that we have, with all that we are. He's taking us somewhere. He wants us to understand His kingdom and to bring others into the kingdom. Let's desire in our heart. Let's declare in our heart. Let's speak it out with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord. We shall follow Him all the days of our lives. Come what may, we will not turn back. We will not allow the devil to steal from us. We will allow the Spirit of God to lead us to the cross, to lead us to Jesus, to lead us into our destinies.
Habakkuk chapter 2. For projection, open your Bibles. Habakkuk chapter 2. Thank you, Uncle Ivan. Give me the amplified, please. Habakkuk chapter 2. At my watch, at my guard post, at my praying point, at where the Lord has planted me, I will station myself on the tower and I will keep watch to see what God will say to me. I will open up to hear his voice. I will open up to him to hear his instruction. And also to know what I must answer. To know the answer I will give to him as his spokesman. So you are supposed to be spokesmen, spokespersons for God. When I am reproved, let's move on. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Everybody say, write the vision. Write the vision. And engrave it. Engrave it plainly on clay. Write the vision. And engrave it in your notebooks. Repeat after me. Write the vision. Write the vision in your notebook. I will write the vision in my notebook. I would engrave it very clearly so that the one who reads it will run, will move with the vision, with the instruction of God, with the guidance of God, and move to where God is taking me. All of us, I mean, we are very familiar with this verse in the King James Version. You know, the visions are for an appointed time, you know, though it tarry, wait for it. And we just quote it without thinking. It means writing down the instructions that God has said. The next verse, please. And then we'll add on verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. The vision may not be for now. It may be for the future. Like Pastor Nash shared with us 2 weeks ago. God is training your hands for something. He's training you academically for something. He's training you socially for something. You don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. And when God gives you the instruction, write it down. It is for an appointed time. It hurries towards the goal of fulfillment. God's aim is to accelerate it towards what he wants to achieve. To us human beings, it may appear to be tarry, it may appear to be delaying, but it will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come. It will not delay. One thing we have observed in Teen Chapel is that in Teen Chapel, we don't write notes. Many of you don't write notes. How many of you remember what Pastor Nash shared the first last 2 weeks? If I ask us now, even those raising their hands, if I start asking them questions now, do realize that what they remember is about 5% of what she shared. And the facilitators can bear me out. We did an exercise with the facilitators and I asked every one of them to listen to the message again and then rewrite notes after re-listening to the message. And all of them can attest, including myself, when I was rewriting my notes. I heard things. I realized things that I didn't observe when she was preaching here. And many of us carry the same attitude into school. When a teacher is writing, is talking, you don't write. You don't understand. If you right now, if I walk to some of you and I ask you, what have I been sharing with us this morning? There'll be trouble. Should I walk to some people? Rabbi, why are you turning your head? I will not come to anybody because very soon we shall be going to our classes. The reason I know there will be trouble is that while I was talking, how many of us wrote while I was talking? Lift your hand, let me see. How many of us wrote something when I was talking? You see? So even while I'm still here, if I ask you what I just said, even if I ask us, what did I say is fighting against teachable? You hear stories. Because you did not write. You did not write what I said. You did not write how you understood what I said. And you did not write what God spoke to you. And I know he did speak to a lot of us. Those of us who came for it, we pray for you. I know God was speaking to you, giving you instructions as to some of the things you should do when you leave here. But I don't think any of you have written it down. So you go home, you forget. And the next week, the thing that was fighting you will continue to fight you. Because you are not following God's instruction. Is somebody hearing me? There are three basic things. We'll expound on them in your classes and maybe later on when I talk again, we'll expound on these three. Whenever you have Bible studies, or whenever you hear somebody preach, there are three basic things that you must always write down. What did I say? What did I just say? When? No, I didn't say you should write them right now. What did I say? Three basic things. Look at me. Don't look at your notebook. You're not searching for a notebook. What did I just say? When somebody is talking, there are three basic things that you must write down. When somebody is preaching, or when you are doing Bible study, it's not just writing three basic things. It's not even writing Accra. It's not even 5 minutes. You have distorted my message a little. That's why it's important to write. Okay? And some of you are still not writing. I'm going to give you three basic things. You are not even looking at your notebooks yet. You are not pulling your pen. Pull it quickly. This message you're writing on the phone, next week you forget. You even delete it because, oh, this is not important. This uncle Bishop has trouble. Get a notebook. So there are three basic things you must write. What did the person say? Later, we'll expand on the details of what the person said. Because there are so many things that, some of the things that they say are instructions, some of them are stories, some of them are illustrations. And for some of us today, all we remember is that Uncle Bijou's car's windscreen got crashed. That's all some of you remember. Or that my granddaughter came and used stone and wrote on the car. There was another story, but I won't tell you that one. Maybe another time. What did the person say? What did we discuss? What did we talk about? Make sure you write it down. Then number two, what did I learn? And what you learn will be different from what I learn. Will be different from what your facilitator learns. Everybody learns a different lesson. Sometimes you may all learn similar lessons, but a lot of times we'll learn a different lesson. So while the preaching is going on, while the discussion is going on, you must open your ears to hear what God is telling you. That is what is more important than even what we are discussing. What instruction is God giving me? Again, we'll expound on this later on. Because there are so many things that we learn. We learn things about God. We'll be talking about the God life. We'll be talking about God the creator. You know, there are so many other aspects of God that we can learn. We learn about the devil, we learn about ourselves, we learn about our sins, we learn about how to relate to people, we learn about how to study, we learn about evangelism. There's so many things we learn. But what did I learn? Write them down. Then the third point, you have written down what was said or what was discussed. You have written down what you learned. And the third and most important one, what will I do about what I have learned? Yes, my windscreen was smashed. That's what I said. So what? Some of you will forget that I said, and I'm sure about more than 50% of us have forgotten that already, that when I talk about the windscreen, I said that's how we behave towards God. I don't want to digress. But the third thing, what are my timelines? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? When will I do it? That is the expansion of what I'm going to do. Like, for example, those who are starting the Bible challenge today, by next week, you should have read the whole of John, which means that every day you must read 3 chapters of John. That is what you are going to do so far as the Bible challenge is concerned. So it's important that we write things down in our notebooks. And from here, don't go and throw the notebook away. When I finish lunch today, I'll sit down and go over the things that I have discovered and what I need to do. If I didn't write anything I need to do, I'll now sit down and meditate on what I heard and then write things that I think I need to do that will help me. We're going to be discussing Pastor Nan's message when we break up into our classes. Let me see those of us who don't have notebooks. Lift your hands and keep them high so we can see continually. Or better still, stand. You don't have a notebook, please stand. This one, you are waiting for somebody to stand first. Okay, everybody, lift your notebooks and let me see. You don't have a notebook and you are writing on your phone and you are looking at me as I'm talking to you. Teacher, but why are you? After all that, please, those who have reason, put it down. Facilitators, please help me. I told you that today I'm going to be hard and I expect you to be harder. Uncle Ivan, can you please work with the facilitators to sort this out very quickly, please? Very quickly, Uncle Ivan, we don't have much time. So at least we can have some 30 minutes to do our discussions. Uncle Ivan, hurry up! If you don't have a pen, lift your hand. You don't have a pen, lift your hand and keep it up. But next week, if you come to church and you don't have notebook, you don't have Bible, you don't have pen, there'll be trouble in this place. I said, keep it up until I ask you to keep it down. Facilitators, please hurry up. Ivan, the hands are up. please, next week, we don't want loose sheets and we don't want loose notebooks. We want proper church notebook. Okay, facilitators, may please start your discussions. And make sure to return any excess notebooks to Ivan Saki. And those of you who don't talk in class, I want you to talk in class. Ask questions, contribute, get involved. Defense.